Welcome in to another episode of RJ Bell's Dream Preview College Basketball Edition. In fact, it is the postseason edition. That's right, friends. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Conference tournament season is in full effect. And as of today, the brackets are finalized for the big boy leagues. So we'll go over the Power Six conferences. And oh, by the way, I'm AJ Hoffman, joined as I'm always joined by Griffin Warner at the real underscore G Warner. Griffin, how are you, friend?
I'm doing well. Really looking forward to get out of home field advantages, home court advantages, into the neutral sites, where hopefully the referees will just see what they call instead of being coerced into saying things and blowing their whistles by home courts.
That never happens, I don't think.
It worked really well for a lot of the season. And then, I don't know, it's been a weird, treacherous even couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to really what, if a team is better than another team on a certain night, day, whatever time they're playing, wee hours, early morning, we'll know, and they will win in advance, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
All right, let's jump into it. What we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at the brackets for each one of these leagues and discuss who we think is viable, who we think can win, who we think you should avoid. And at the end, we're going to give our best bet at the end based on our discussions here. We'll each come up with one of our favorite futures, and that'll be that. What we're going to do for this is we're going to use DraftKings lines. We'll figure that's like the most available to the most people, even though it's not available in the state where Griffin or I live. yeah. But we know that's, you know, it's an easily accessible book. The lines are easily accessible. But as always with futures, shop around. Like if you only have one book, you shouldn't be betting futures anyway, because you're just ripping yourself off, to be honest. So make sure you've got multiple outs where you can price shop, because it can be the difference. Like it's sometimes 14 to 1 can be 18 to 1 on another site. So there's no reason why you should be taking 14 to 1. All right, let's start with the Big 12. I think it's the best league. It's the tournament I think I'm most excited about. Although when you look at the way these teams are coming into the tournament, I wonder if the University of Houston would be better served to lose in round one and just make sure they're healthy going into this thing. We know they're a one seed. They're locked into being a one seed. But also, Griffin, like you talked about teams that have friendly whistles, and, you know, with Kansas, Iowa State, and Houston, those are probably three of the biggest home court edges that any team's had this season, those three schools. Do you dock those schools for being on a neutral here? And in Kansas's case, I mean, I think I'll make the argument we should just throw Kansas out immediately, because their health issues right now with McCullough and Dickinson banged up, it doesn't make sense for them to make a deep run. You know, he dislocates his shoulder in the last regular season. Yeah, that's like the not worst great case scenario. To me, this is Kansas is the team that I've thrown out the window immediately. I want nothing to do with them. Despite, I think they're the fourth or fifth favorite in this league. So I'm not interested in them, but I don't think I'm interested in Houston at minus money either, because of that home court thing. And that's for the top two seeds, Houston and Iowa State. I think the home court's so important to them. So I'm out on both of those. What do you think of those three teams initially? And do you think that am I being too harsh by saying that Kansas has no shot here?
Well, I do like that we're starting with the conference tournament that I'm attending. Nice. I am a little bit concerned about the extra ticket that I have and trying to sell it, because I was hoping that KU would have a deep run, and if I wasn't able to sell because I haven't gotten a beep from StubHub yet, but was hoping that, you know, there'd be a lot of a deep KU run, because that's the fan base. I think it's 30, 40 minutes to Lawrence from Kansas City, as I just made that drive a few weeks ago. I never knew I'd be in Kansas City so many times in like a 6 month stretch, but this will be time number three. I think to your comment about the whistles thing, I think you do have to maybe downgrade teams a little bit when they aren't getting that huge whistle, because I think it's going to be kind of a challenge. I mean, certainly they're used to road games, but I feel like Hunter Dickinson, for his example, like he's probably going to get hit a little bit more, and if he is playing, and might not get the foul shots that he would expect. Though ultimately, I'm not sure he's a great example because he towers over almost everybody. With that said, so KU, as I see, as a sixth seed on the bracket, lower than I think I've ever seen them in the Big 12. Yet, and interestingly enough, Texas, this is seven. So we'll see what happens there. But for the most part, when I go through, and these are my first looks at the bracket, so I'm happy to do this live on an eventually published podcast. But I do like looking at the paths and trying to avoid certain teams. So the nice part about Kansas, Texas, Kansas State, Iowa State and Baylor is they're on the other side of Houston, and they only have to beat Houston in the final if Houston even gets there. So that's probably the side of the Big 12 bracket that I'd be most interested to look at. I'm selfishly trying to think of what the big fan bases will be. I think BYU will show up pretty well, assuming they get by a Central Florida Oklahoma State winner. But then the winner of BYU or Texas Tech faces Houston. I feel like those are going to be tough calls to say that either will really give Houston much of a game or give them much trouble, unless BYU makes a ton of threes, which is always a possibility, as KU found out on their home floor. I would be tempted to look onto the other direction. I mean, it looks like using the DraftKings numbers, Iowa State plus 280, Baylor 8-1, and that's probably because they have to get through KU. But I mean, Kansas 12-1, having to play that extra game against the winner of Cincinnati or West Virginia. I feel like that number feels short to me with Baylor, but I feel like, or feels maybe longer than it should be based on the shell that is Kansas, that I think a lot of people are prepared for being a tougher out for Baylor in that first round game. But I think the nightmare scenario is Baylor has to beat Kansas, then Iowa State, then Houston to win this thing. And maybe that's why 8-1 is sticking out right now.
Yeah, Baylor's one of the teams that I circled that I am interested in. And I'll just go ahead and say I'm interested in Baylor, partly for what you said. I think there is an overvaluing of Kansas. So I think the projection that Baylor's going to play them is probably not as big of a deal as it is to most. My concern with them, obviously, is they're not a very deep team. The bench minutes could end up biting them. I think BYU is very interesting, and it's for the reason you said. If they have one of those days where they're hitting threes, they can beat anybody, and that includes Houston, I think. And then the last team that I'll maybe consider giving a little sprinkle to is the Texas Longhorns. I mean, they have been they've been very good, like, for the last month. I mean, if you just go back through what they've done on this schedule. I mean, obviously the Baylor loss, but if your only losses in the last, you know, almost in the last calendar month have been at Houston, at Kansas, and at Baylor, I'm not going to knock you too much. I think this is a pretty damn good team, and I think they're playing well right now. I don't think they're going to win any coach-offs, but they do have better depth than some of these other teams that we're talking about. So I could maybe get behind a little sprinkle on them. But I think it, with a forced play at the numbers up at DraftKings right now, I think I'd be on BYU at 15-1.
Yeah, I don't love that they would have to get through Texas, whatever winner of the play-in game, Texas Tech, then Houston, then likely an Iowa State or Baylor winner. But to the Texas point of view, at 30-1 odds, I mean, they have to get through Kansas State, which I think K-State is probably having to win this tournament or go very deep with some big pelts to potentially get back in that conversation. That loss to USC early in the season, which I think we both had. It looks worse by the minute, I guess, or then it looks a little bit better at times, but then still not great. And I do wonder, I mean, that's going to be kind of one of those, like, I like going to the events so I can get a feel for what crowds will show up for future tournaments and future situations. I don't really know what the K-State fan base will look like, because usually when they play at the Sprint Center now, the T-Mobile Center or T-Mobile Arena, whatever they call it, that was always a really nice home court advantage that kind of wasn't reflected in line. So to me, that might be a little bit more difficult of a first round game, but Texas, I have not been very good at projecting them this season. Seems like dominant the Moody Center, the new Texas gym for basketball last season, and then didn't really have that same type of feeling this year. It got a bunch of road wins that I never really saw coming. So those are probably the interests I have. I think BYU probably be my favorite of the group, and just really hope that, like, TCU at 65-1, huge number, and unfortunately they have to get through so many games.
Yeah,
Houston would be the second one, but maybe TCU pulls an upset, and then that to me would be the reason. If you're not going to do a money line rollover, is if you're most of the time, if you just essentially parlay by backing a money line and just putting what you win from that plus your risk on the first game and just going through it all the way, that usually will pay more, I find, unless there are upsets. And then, because like if Houston goes out and BYU is playing, let's say, Oklahoma in the semis, then I think then you might want that 15-1.
Sure. All right, let's take a look at the ACC. Obviously, there's a lot of teams in that Big 12 that are viable, as we just discussed. The ACC feels like there's not very many. And you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but as soon as I looked at the bracket, I said, oh my, North Carolina's winning this tournament. And North Carolina is the favorite to win the tournament at plus 150. Duke is at plus 160. But the reason why I said it's North Carolina is the way the bracket is set up, you know, Duke, Clemson, Virginia, they're all on the side of the bracket, on one side of the bracket, and North Carolina is on the other side with like Pittsburgh and Wake Forest, I guess, is like the toughest. Like, so it seems to me like North Carolina is just going to walk to the final. And then, you know, obviously I think they're going to go walk to the final and play Duke again, because I just think there's only two real decent teams in this whole conference. I'm selfishly hoping that Virginia gets in. Virginia and Michigan State are the two bubble teams that I'm like crossing fingers that they get in, even though I think they both stink and I normally want to get all the best teams in. But Virginia and Michigan State will be auto fades whoever they play in the tournament. So I'm kind of hopeful that Virginia gets in. But I really think this ACC tournament comes down to North Carolina or Duke. Do you see it any different way?
I mean, I'm trying to find some possible avenues. I mean, UNC with a sweep over Duke, if I didn't mess that up, is pretty good. And I'm sure is very happy in the Carolina land, at least the light blue version. It's a little bit different. They're not playing Greensboro, so Washington, D.C. this year. So it's not going to be a entire sellout of North Carolina or Duke playing, essentially. So that's a little bit different, but probably will still be very biased crowds.
Who else? What other program wants to travel for their team right now? I can't imagine there's any.
Yeah, totally. You must really, really like your school, or maybe you need some points for season tickets next year, improving your seat or something. Just looking at potentials. I mean, Wake Forest, they to me are one of the scarier teams in basketball. They're hard for me to project because you never know if they're going to make a bunch of shots. I mean, that game with Clemson this weekend, up and down the whole time. And like I think that was my best bet, Wake Forest, which is a winner. Check that one off. Nice. Was close at the end. Thank you for a foul with 2.2 left, I think. But that seems to have finally gone in the right direction for me once. But I feel like if they make shots, they can beat almost anybody. It's just, how do you know if that's going to happen? They haven't done it on the road in a long, long time. They have a lot of work to do, as you could say, for almost anyone on this entire bracket. UNC and Duke, probably not so much. Clemson, I guess, is somehow in. But that's probably an area I'd be looking toward, is Clemson to get through Virginia, and maybe someone takes out Duke in the other side. And then you get to face Carolina in the final. I mean, that seems like a far-fetched type of thing. And Clemson at DraftKings, only 8.5-1, plus 850. So, I don't know. I'm trying to look for some options here. It's weird to me that Wake Forest having to play an extra game is 9-1, but Pittsburgh is 12-1. I mean, I think Pitt is probably better. So maybe that points to potentially Pittsburgh being an underdog, or at least being right around Pick'em with Wake Forest in the second round, or third round, I guess, after a double bye. I mean, that interests me. I'll put it that way. But in terms of winning this whole thing, I mean, it seems like, I mean, it's not very original or out on a off the beaten path, but I don't know, maybe Virginia like somehow shows up really well and plays great defense on a neutral site, which had weird sight lines or something like that. Yeah. I don't think they can win games scoring less than 60 points against any competent team, which will probably start in that first game against Clemson.
Well, what I do know is the only, at least according to Joe Lunardi right now, the only teams that are safely in the conference or in the tournament are Carolina, Duke, and Clemson. He has Virginia currently listed as last four in, and he's got Pitt and Wake Forest in the next four out. So, I mean, if you ride those motivational edges, like if you think, okay, this team knows they've got to win some games, and I assume, I mean, Wake and Pitt seem like that's the only option for them. If they don't win games, they're not going. But but how many, I mean, is it possible that the ACC only gets three teams? I mean, I guess it is possible, but it's kind of hard to imagine, right?
I mean, ESPN's probably making calls and they're probably saying, hey, Joe, we're going to keep you in that bracket bunker and throw away the key if you're not going to start pumping up our big investment in the ACC network or whatever the heck they're doing. I feel like that motivational edge works when one team's in and one team is fighting to get onto that like bid. I think it's a really dangerous scenario when Wake Forest takes on Notre Dame or Georgia Tech in that second round game, essentially. So that's like, I think it's going to be a big test for Wake, which we've seen at the Lawrence Joel Coliseum or whatever they call it. They're great there. But as soon as they leave Winston-Salem, they start to look really vulnerable. And that's a game where it's like only going to hurt you if you lose. Yes, you could get some legs under you and get a little bit of experience in the gym, but and that is certainly helpful in the next round, but you still got to win that first game. You're usually a favorite. And I think you see some sleepy performances in those situations. So that's another reason to probably be off of Wake Forest at 9-1 odds when the team if they win that game that they'll play is 12-1. So maybe I like Pitt best so far, though. Unfortunately, Carolina, after they win that first game, is really not a desirable team to get through. And then whoever gets through the other side as well.
Yeah. And North Carolina, only one game against Pitt this year, and they won it pretty handily. 70-57, North Carolina took care of business against Pitt, and that was on Pitt's home floor. So, yeah, I think that Wake Forest-Pitt matchup is super interesting because I think it's like loser leaves town for sure, and the winner's got like a breath of hope, I guess. But again, the winner has to play North Carolina, and they may have to beat them to assure themselves a spot.
Which, so, I mean, maybe that is a great opportunity for them to get another huge, I mean, I'm not sure how much a conference tournament win compares to a regular conference game, but I guess it's a neutral site. So it's the purest of matchups. So maybe that's a good thing, but then it also makes it harder to then win that next game as well after you supposedly climb Mount Everest to then go hop over and climb another big mountain in that title game is especially hard to do.
I'm RJ Bell, and I'm going to give you some straight talk. Now, there's two types of people that try to be healthy. One is the fanatics. They're the types that show up in Vegas and they got a water bottle and they got like a celery chopped up. And let's forget about them because I'm nothing like them. And you know what? I know a lot of them love AG1. But I'm not speaking to them. You guys got it covered. You know AG1's good. I'm talking about the people who try, but they're not perfect with it. And to me, that's what makes AG1 perfect, is you can have a big dinner and maybe eat a little too much, maybe have that glass of wine or that beer. You're not feeling great. Next morning, you have the AG1, and all of a sudden, you're back feeling good. And to me, if you can have that as your home base in a way, that center, that equator, that center that you can return to at any time with just a nice drink and feel healthy, well, I love it. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/RJBell. That's drinkag1.com/RJBell. Check it out. DraftKings, the leader in fantasy sports, just dropped a brand new fantasy app, Pick 6. Now, what's different about this thing? I was never a big fantasy guy. You know why? is I always worried, you know, who's on the other side? Who am I playing against? With Pick 6, you're not going against another player or players. You're going against the bookmaker. You're going against the number that they put up. So all you got to do is pick between 2 and 6 NFL players and choose if they're going to have more or less of the stat that interests you. Download DraftKings Pick 6 app now and sign up with code RJ. That's code RJ. Only at DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. But age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Valid only in states where DraftKings Pick 6 operates. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, please visit dkng.com/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com.
All right, let's look at the Pac-12. Where the four teams with byes are Arizona, Washington State, Colorado, and Oregon. I think it's going to be hard to project. I'll say this. I think if I were like, if there was a gun to my head and you said, who's going to win this tournament, it's Arizona. I think they are far and away the best team in this thing, but they are, you know, they're priced like they're far and away the best team in this thing at -160. Colorado and Washington State are 5-1. Oregon is 10-1. So when like the next closest to Arizona is +500, it's like, oh God, it just feels like everyone's going to be on Arizona. If I were looking to get cute and find someone non-Arizona that I think can win this thing, I think that the two places I'd look at Utah and I would look at UCLA, and they both make me a little bit sick for different reasons. Utah falls into that category of teams that, man, if they played all their games at home, who knows what they could do. They'd be a juggernaut, but they don't play all their games at home, and they lost the last two games of the season to Oregon State and Oregon, and probably played themselves out of a tournament spot. So I think that the way that they're playing right now and, you know, not having that home court makes me want to just say no thanks to them. And then UCLA is intriguing to me, as disappointing as they've been. And they're 45-1. But the thing about UCLA is I know that they are solidly coached, and they, like, before this run where they lose 5 games in a row, I think they won 6 or 7 games in a row. Like, they were on a really good run where it looked like, man, maybe they figured it out. All of their wins have come in streaks. All of their losses have come in streaks. They come in chunks. So all it would take is this UCLA team getting hot for a chunk and reeling off a couple wins. It's not. And we know they've got better talent than what they've played like this season. We know they've been a disappointment. And sometimes when you're looking for value, that's the kind of teams you're looking for, the disappointments, the teams that had good players that just didn't come through. USC, maybe you could think about in the same conversation, but they immediately draw Arizona if they were to get through Washington, which I'm not interested in. UCLA getting Oregon State in the first round and then Oregon in the second round makes me feel like maybe they could start to build some momentum there. Maybe they could get lucky against Arizona. And then, you know, who knows after that. They did play Arizona tough in their building. They did not play Arizona tough at home. They got drubbed a couple days ago. But to me, it's really hard to say anyone besides Arizona. But if I were looking to it, it'd probably be UCLA.
So those are definitely the long shots. I mean, I'm so speechless right now. I can't even start my sentence. Like, USC at 40-1 with a competent Washington team relatively, then Arizona the next game compared to UCLA going through Oregon State and then Oregon. That makes no sense to me. UCLA 45-1. So the problem is there's no real like ability to buy and then sell, because I don't think there's a marketplace out there where you could say, oh, I'm going to take UCLA 45-1. To win and then take them not to win somewhere else and arbitrage it. So unfortunately, I guess it's not going to punish DraftKings for putting this number out there. But I think UCLA's path is much easier, as we've already discussed. I was really buying into their streak that I think was really only the loss to Arizona, which was a game they were leading for a lot of it in Tucson. And then they route off a bunch of wins. And then I think ended the streak when their point guard got ejected for like a high elbow early in the first half of a game against, I want to say, Utah at home on one of the Sundays or something like that. I don't really know what to say. I was kind of believing in UCLA that they'd turned the corner, and that Mick Cronin, who I think, as you said, great coach, and I think is a great hire, even though he's like the 15th choice that UCLA was looking to make when they hired him way back when. I just don't know necessarily. It feels like it looked like they turned it on, and then it didn't seem like the motor kept running. And I think it's hard to get that all started. But if you get the worst team in the conference, and it's kind of like a game to get your legs under you for that first one, it's going to take some energy, of course, but these are pretty young people. So I would expect they can probably bounce back fairly well. And Oregon seems like a pretty good team that's like very, very young and makes some really bad mistakes, at least from the game I watched when they hosted Colorado just this week. Speaking of Colorado, I think they're probably the team I like most. I don't love that they have to face Utah off of a game. I think they'll have much better luck against Arizona State if that upset came through. But ultimately, that's the thing that kind of separates their path a little bit more than Washington State, both at 5-1 odds currently. I would just really want to be against Washington State because I feel like they somehow, some way, miraculously beat Arizona twice. And I don't really know that I trust them to beat anybody that's relatively competent. And I'm not sure that Arizona is that great either. I think that's just one of those things, one of those flaws that makes me realize that if you're taking Arizona a long way in this tournament or in your brackets, that you might want to be a little bit more cautious. So I think if I'm looking for something that I think has a shot to win, I'm going Colorado, CU 5-1. But I do like UCLA 45-1 if we're looking long shots, because I think they have a much better path, though it might include Arizona a lot earlier.
All right, let's get away from the filth that is the Pac-12, and we will, it's the last time we'll ever have to talk about it, right? Let's look at the SEC, and this is a good one, man. This is a good tournament. Your favorite is, no surprise, and no surprise to me anyway, the Tennessee Volunteers at plus 130. Auburn, maybe a little bit of a surprise, is the second favorite at plus 260.
And that's Kentucky, a semi.
Yeah. Kentucky plus 450. Or no, Kentucky plus 400. Alabama plus 450. Then you get Florida at 20-1. South Carolina 60-1. Mississippi State 65-1. I think we can probably start there, or stop there. But A&M is 100-1. Ole Miss 250-1, and I'm not going to go any further. Obviously this Tennessee Kentucky game over the weekend. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to sit down and go through that whole thing.
I did. But I watched the late portion of that. Go ahead.
I thought it was one of the better games of the weekend. It felt like Tennessee drug themselves all the way back into that game. And, you know, obviously it's a tough loss, but I mean, I didn't lose any respect for either one of those teams. I thought they both played great. I had the over in that game. It hit by 1 point. Both teams, or like, I shouldn't say both teams. Kentucky was much better defensively than I was expecting them to be. It's probably the best defensive performance I've seen Kentucky have, at least against a competent offense. So I'm starting to see like a path for Kentucky. They're very shot reliant, but they've proven it all year long that they can hit those shots away from home. They did it again against Tennessee. And as much as I've been saying, I think that Tennessee is the best team in the SEC. I think I may want to look at Kentucky given this price, because with Dillingham and Reeves and Shepherd, there's no way that all of them have a bad shooting night at the same time. Like, there's just, it's impossible. And what Antonio Reeves did against Tennessee was just crazy. I mean, he went off, and it was a slow Dillingham night. Reed Shepherd played great, but it's like one of them is always going to be there. and it's hard for me to pass on them, given I think that they're probably an equal to Tennessee. But when you look at these numbers and you say, well, I can either get Tennessee at plus 130 or Kentucky at 4-1, I think it's Kentucky for me. Alabama is I've lost some interest in. I thought I was going to have maybe a look at Florida, but then they lost to Vanderbilt over the weekend, and it's I can't get past that. I know Florida's lost a lot of road games, but most of their road games have been like at least palatable. Losing to Vanderbilt's a really embarrassing look. So I don't know how they dog stomp Alabama and then follow it up with a loss against Vanderbilt. That's not the kind of team I'm looking to trust. I thought maybe I was going to be able to the way they were playing, but that's a no-go for me. And then I don't know about you. I feel like Auburn is way overpriced here. I haven't seen Auburn this year beat a team that I'm really impressed by. I mean, I guess their best win is against Alabama at home, but every time they've gone up against someone that I'm like, okay, this is Auburn against a good team, they lost. And that was the Tennessee game, the Kentucky game, and the very first game of the season against Baylor. They split with Alabama. That's the best thing I can say about it. I haven't seen enough from them that I think they should be the second favorite in this conference. So they're a team I've got no interest in. So I think what it boils down to is I like Tennessee and Kentucky, but I just think the numbers it's too short on Tennessee. So I'll go with the Wildcats here.
Yeah, I think Kentucky is showing that they are really hard to count out or to count in, if that makes sense, because I don't know what games they're going to win, what games they're going to potentially lose. Losing at LSU is still really boggles the mind. But, yeah. I mean, they've shown they can beat anybody, and for some reason they're better away from Rupp, though they should have a huge amount of fans in Nashville. I went to the SEC tournament when I lived there a couple years ago, and there was, I think, one of the nights, it was Tennessee against Kentucky. Or I think they were both in there. I think maybe one game was playing at the early one, one was playing the late one, and it was like no chance getting a ticket of any sort of cheap value. So I expect those two crowds to be there in force. I think you'll see the football differences. Auburn and Alabama probably won't be represented as strongly as maybe you'd expect for a 3 and a 4 seed. But I agree with you. The prices seem really weird on Auburn. I think I sent you a pick this weekend from a game I was watching, and I'd screenshot or just even snapped a picture from my TV on my phone that showed, I think Auburn's quad one record was like 1-7, which speaks to what you were talking about. That's not a great sign, because that's a lot of opportunities. And like, I think Drake is like 4-1 and quadrant one or something like that, which I guess they clinched the bid today. But if they hadn't, then they might have been one of those teams that are on the outside looking in, which is kind of shameful at this point that it's still happening in the year of our Lord 2024, but I digress. I think in terms of the Florida mention, weird loss to Vanderbilt, but like, I think that probably sticks a fork in them and trusting them to go on a deep run in the NCAA tournament. But they're also like, unfortunately with college kids, it's hard to be focused. But they've kind of shown up whenever I've been looking for them to do so. And one bad game heading into the SEC tournament, like maybe that just sets them up on a really good run. I think it does make me, it's kind of like a demerit military talk, which I don't know a lot about, but just something that makes me think, not sure I can trust them to go to the Final Four if they're going to lose games like to Vandy. But, you know, I think that might even give us some more value, assuming they can get through Georgia, Missouri winner to then take Alabama and potentially, I mean, what it feels like in terms of how those games have gone, they could have swept them in the regular season, if not for going to overtime in that first game in Tuscaloosa. In terms of, I think, Texas A&M, they're one of those teams that were very, very beloved coming into the year, were ranked for a lot of the season, and are 100-1 odds. Yeah, I mean, they massacred Ole Miss this weekend. I think I turned the game on at 23-3. And unfortunately, I think that was one of three bets I made this weekend on teams that I turned the game on. Their teams were already down 20. So that was fun. And I think it was like similar scoreline as well, with like 3 points to something in the 20s. And I would like to have those stop, please, God. So if you're out there, if you're listening to this podcast, please stop it. But I think A&M, I mean, the hard part is, okay, so their run is get through Ole Miss, who you just beat this weekend, which probably won't be as easy this time, even though they did it on Ole Miss's home floor. But then you got to go through Kentucky, then potentially Florida or Alabama, and then Tennessee or Auburn. So like that, maybe that does deserve 100-1 odds, though. It's pretty much saying, hey, please bet this because it's not likely to happen. I think they are probably a team I want to look at as a good tournament type team when teams are weary and A&M is very deep and will be putting a lot of pressure and are very physical. I think those are a tournament style team that I'd like. But I still can't quit the South Carolina team. I got to say, I think they, shot quality, like in shot metrics, put that game where they lost by 40 to Auburn as like a game they could have won. So is Auburn just shooting the lights out? I think probably because they're at home. I think that's a very possible upset scenario. So that gives me some interest at 60-1, but it's so hard with the double buys then forcing these teams, the 5, 7, or 6 seeds, to go win that extra game. I think that's a big, big ask. So you have a lot of concern or worry that they dropped that first one. But I think it's going to be a great tournament. I'm looking forward to potentially watching it when I get home from the Big 12 tournament, because I can't say I'm going to be dual screening when I'm at an event. But this should be a great, great tourney. I think Auburn's really overvalued here. And I think you're right that Kentucky is the one I would choose from that bottom bracket. Maybe Auburn beats Tennessee and makes it even easier for Kentucky at that 4-1 price.
All right. And the other thing I like about Kentucky is they're deep. You know, people have talked all season long about why are Dillingham and Shepherd coming off the bench, and they play starters minutes, but it's because Kentucky's got dudes. They've got a lot of them. And I think that's going to help them out in this setting. And I mean, when I say deep, it's all relative, obviously, to the teams that are in this tournament. But you also, when you look at bench minutes, and there will be people who say, "Oh, well, they don't get enough quality bench minutes." Remember, Kentucky's going to have to just win, you know, 3 games. Like if you're looking at a team that's playing on day 2, if you're looking at a Florida or a South Carolina or an A&M, like that's when depth really matters, because playing 4 games in 4 days is not. That's when it becomes very difficult. But I don't think you want a team that has no depth. But if you've got a double bye, then you know depth is not as important as it is, you know, for some of these other teams. All right, let's take a look at the Big East, and I'm excited for this one. Excited for the Garden. But I will say, this is probably the tournament that I'm most interested in betting round to round versus like picking a future. And the reason why is the team that I think is going to win this tournament or should win this tournament, it has a giant question mark with Tyler Kolek. And so I like Marquette here, the 3 seed. But I don't want to play them at a futures price, because I think that if anything, I think this team is good enough to win their first game without Tyler Kolek. But if he's there, I'm certainly going to feel a lot better about things. Like if you told me that Marquette's going to play, you know, Villanova or DePaul, Marquette's going to play Villanova. DePaul's not winning a freaking game. What am I saying? But I think Marquette can beat Villanova without Tyler Kolek. But if he's there, now suddenly I'm interested in buying Marquette for the rest of the way. If he's not there, I don't think Marquette beats Creighton. Like I don't think Marquette without Tyler Kolek can beat Creighton on a neutral. So I'm in a weird spot because I don't want to back UConn. I think that's going to be the popular choice. They're a minus money, minus 135. Creighton at plus 425, Marquette at 5-1, John's at 8-1. You got Villanova at 16, Providence at 60. I think we can probably stop there, but if you're a wild man, Xavier and Butler are 110-1. It really boils down to that for me. Like I don't think UConn should be minus 135, and if Marquette has Tyler Kolek, I think they're gonna win the tournament. If they don't, I think Creighton is just as live as them against UConn in a final. So I'm gonna play this game to game. I'm gonna do the wait and see thing. Such a cop out, but that's all I got.
No, I mean there's ways to do it, and of course Moneyline rollovers sometimes will pay a lot better with if they're if there are no upsets type scenario. I think I'm interested by that same letter of the law. I think I'm more interested in Creighton than I am in Marquette. I was impressed by Marquette. It felt like they were kind of running the same pick and roll offense against Villanova this weekend, and it was working fairly well. Got them off to a really big lead, one of those 20s to threes that I turned on, unfortunately, a little bit late. I'm curious, like, so are you saying, because my feeling about Tyler Kolek is if he plays in this tournament, I feel like I'm not sure we're getting 100% Tyler Kolek. I don't think they want to like have him not available, because I think it impacts their seeding if he doesn't play until the NCAA tournament. I think if there's a question, do we make Marquette a 2-3-4, you go with the lower of the options depending on how the regions go, if you're a selection show committee, whatever it is. I just don't know how good he'll be, like, and maybe he plays a few minutes in that first game against Villanova that they probably are good enough. I mean, I think they'll probably need him to win, but they can certainly win without him. I just wonder, like, even if Kolek's coming in, what that'll look like. And if you play Creighton before this all starts, I mean, Providence did beat them in overtime, which was, I think, thanks to like a half court shot or a shot from the logo. Half court probably is a little bit slighting, because that seems more luck and randomness than anything. But I think Creighton gets by a Georgetown or Providence that first, I guess, leg. And then they go to a Marquette or Villanova, which, I mean, to me, that 425 kind of seems like an appetizing number, because if Kolek's not in there, that probably that number's too small. If he's playing and he's great, then you at least have 4.25 odds to one to potentially get, easy for me to say, a Creighton victory. Or if you get Tyler Kolek, who's really not himself, then you've got really great odds. And then you're probably facing UConn. And you're, I don't know if you'd be 4.25 to 1 odds there to beat them. So, I mean, it's you could argue a lot of different ways. And then in that scenario, I think, especially if you're not doing the rollover, you're, of course, hoping UConn goes out early. I don't know if Seton Hall is the team to do that. I don't know if St. John's is the team to do that. I wouldn't really give much home field advantage, home crowd advantage, home court advantage to St. John's, even though they are treated as home games because they do play home games at MSG. But it's going to be a great tournament. I think it's going to be very live, and I'm very curious, and I really want to see what Tyler Kolek will be out there if he is playing.
Yeah, if he's playing, I think the winner of that Marquette-Creighton game is very live against UConn. And UConn, like I was talking about with Houston, UConn doesn't need to win the Big East tournament to be a one seed. So it's sometimes you make that decision, like, okay, are we really going to go balls out to win this Big East tournament, or are we going to be ready for the big dance? So I think it's one of the more interesting tournaments I'm excited for. I think you can basically skip the first day. It's just garbage. But I think day two, once you get to the quarterfinals, I think this is an awesome tournament. All right, last one. Friends, we're going to look at the Big Ten, and this is a sort of a similar double bye, like Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, and Northwestern. They don't even play until day three. Purdue is obviously your favorite here. They are even money to win the tournament. Illinois 3-1. Nebraska 7-1. Michigan State is somehow 10-1. Okay.
Yeah, you don't seem to like Sparty very much right now, AJ.
Sparty's 18-13. Like, we have to stop pretending like this is some really good team. They're a team. I don't know if they didn't wear Michigan State uniform, if they were wearing Penn State uniforms, no one would take this team seriously. I mean, they
have to go through Purdue, and that if they win that first game against Minnesota, that is a pretty tough draw for only 10-1.
Wisconsin 15-1, Northwestern 16-1, Iowa and Ohio State are both 35-1. Maryland is 60-1, Indiana 80-1, Minnesota is 100-1, Penn State 150, and Michigan, just don't do that to yourself. I'll just ask you plainly, Griffin, because I think this is a kind of a simple yes or no answer. Is there anyone in this field that you think can knock off Purdue, and who do you think has the profile to make a run here?
I mean, I was pretty impressed by Illinois for about 30 minutes, I feel like, just earlier last week in a big home game with a big crowd, and they couldn't do it. So this 4-5 matchup, potentially, Northwestern, Wisconsin. I know Northwestern played Purdue really tough, but there should be a pretty big underdog. So I guess maybe there's some value on Purdue here, as weird as this sounds, even money, because they have to, I mean, who knows how motivated they are, and they have to beat a likely Michigan State, then Northwestern if seeds hold, and then Illinois in the championship game. But that's not that hard of a run. I got to say that semifinal against a Northwestern or Wisconsin most likely is pretty nice. I got to say, to get to that final. On the bottom side, I feel like Illinois 3-1 odds to win the whole thing. I mean, getting through Iowa, they just played today. That's a little bit confusing. Ohio State's been playing really well. But then I'm not that afraid of Nebraska. I gotta say, I mean, they're good, but they've really had big troubles away from Lincoln, and the Pinnacle Bank Center, at the Vault, as I think they were calling it. Indiana doesn't look like, I mean, they could be a dark horse on the right side of the bracket, on the opposite side of Purdue. They're 80-1. Maybe that's the long shot that might be worth it, but I think they could lose to Penn State if Penn State gets through Michigan in that first matchup, as they should, because I don't think Michigan's been playing for what feels like 2 months now. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the Big Ten to me is Purdue and a lot of, I guess we got to put some other teams in the tournament, and it feels like we have that in a lot of the leagues this year. I don't know what that means for the actual bracket when we get to March Madness, the NCAA tournament, but it does feel like it's Purdue. It has a pretty easy run until that final. So maybe Michigan State catches them in, but I feel like you need Purdue to be pretty uninterested, disinterested to be under threat there to potentially lose. Michigan State, I thought, played them pretty tightly at Mackey a couple weekends ago, but ultimately didn't hang on to pull an upset. So why do we think they'd all suddenly do it in Minneapolis, which is kind of a nice spot for the Minnesota Gophers, but I don't know necessarily that they ever really have a huge crowd that backs them. At the Barn, it seems to work, but this should be a pretty well-attended tournament by all different forms of fan bases, because whether they think they win or not, they're going to support their the colors they bleed.
All right. Well, that brings us to the final discussion here, Griffin. Before we get to best bets, though, tell the people how they can save some cash over at Pregame.
Yeah, we're doing actual cash today. So $15 off all listeners to this college basketball podcast if you use the code BUBBLE15. Don't burst your bubble. I wish I had a better thing to say after that. Yeah, I thought I would, ad-libbing wasn't great. Anyway, Bubble 15, get $15 off for all listeners of this college basketball podcast. We get a little bit of credit. Maybe AJ gets a high five when he walks through the pregame.com hallways. I'm not sure. It's good for 7 days for the podcast release. So you got until the 18th of March, but the NCAA tournament will have started by then. So you might as well get your $15 off. I think we have March Madness packages going out. I guess that covers the rest of the season as well. But go jump in there, save $15 with that promo code BUBBLE15. And if you use it, that means we come back next year.
And that's always good. All right. Griffin, I think I'm going to go with Kentucky. I see the path for them. I like the way they're playing right now. And like I said, if for a team that's so reliant on shooting, I don't worry about them having a night where everybody's off. And everybody seems to be okay with it. Like, one player seems to be okay with the other two players getting the shine one night and then just like rolling it around that way. And whoever's the star of the night is the star of the night. There doesn't seem to be like ego problems. And I really am kind of intrigued by them if they're able to play defense like they did against Tennessee. If they can start slowing teams down a little, and let's face it, there's not a lot of, at the top of this bracket, there's not a lot of good defenses. Auburn and Alabama aren't teams that I think were like, Alabama certainly, the teams we're worried about defensively. But I think if Kentucky brings a little bit of defense to the table to match their offense, I think they're very dangerous. And like I said, if I had seen Kentucky 2-1 and Tennessee 2-1, I'd probably just say that's what it's supposed to be. But at 400 plus 400, it just doesn't make sense to me, because I think this team is way closer to the top than people think.
Yeah, I'm tempted to double best bet that one, but I'm not going to do that to our people because we want to give them some more opportunities. I like it a lot. I mean, it's very helpful to have wins against the other contenders. I think they have wins over all of them, Tennessee, Auburn, and Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. So that's great. If you've done it once, you can certainly do it again. I'm going to go with the Big East, and I'll go Creighton plus 425. I think they are in a good position, and I think you would be taking a good position that even if Tyler Kolek does return, it would be his first game back in a while, and we'll see. I mean, maybe he gets through Villanova, so that'll be the first game, or DePaul. But as we mentioned, that's probably not likely to happen. But even then, it's going to be a huge, like, it's basically being dropped into a war, essentially, and you haven't been doing anything for a long time, it seems. So take Creighton plus 425. Maybe Marquette even gets upset before that game occurs. And you got a pretty nice price tag in your pocket for a potential game with UConn, who might have already wrapped up the number one overall seed and might not be that worried about it.
Well, as you know, I have a love-hate relationship with this Creighton team. I love them, except when I bet on them. And then usually about 2 hours later, I realize why I don't love them all the time. But I do think that the path sets up well for them, especially if Kolek is a no-go. All right, that will do it, friends. We're TBD on Thursday's episode. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't think we'll be doing an episode on Thursday. I guess maybe we'll throw something together. I'll figure something out, and we don't have a lot of run for those, but we want to get you guys something. Mm. What I may do, how about this, Griffin? Instead of doing a college basketball pod on Thursday, how would you feel about coming on straight out of Vegas AM and doing a segment with Scott and I on Thursday to talk about how some of these
tournaments
are going?
That sounds great. I would love to do that. And I could give you the from the sidelines, from heckling the various – I just hope we get some good famous referees so I can tell them how much I dislike them. That's what I'm really looking forward to. A buddy of mine got thrown out by Ted Valentine. I'm trying to equal that record at some point.
All right. Well, that will do it, Griffin. Great job as always. Best of luck to you guys with these conference tournaments. And we'll talk to you on Thursday on Straight Out of Vegas AM. Actually, it'll probably be Friday morning for Straight Out of Vegas AM. Griffin, thank you, my friend. And we'll talk to you guys later.